to the book of Mark, chapter 14. I'd like to say thank you, Pastor, very much for allowing me to be here. And Miss Julie extended her wishes and prayers towards you and the church here. And when my wife begins to pray, things begin to shake. Amen. And so thank God for a godly spiritual wife and one that has backed me and helped me throughout all these years of ministry. And I've heard it said many times, and it is true, behind any good man, there's a great woman. Amen. And I definitely have one. So again, Pastor Cox, thank you so much again for letting me be here. When those children begin to sing a while ago, well, I'm from the South and I'm just an old country boy. When they began to sing a while ago, my heart got tickled, amen. And they did such a tremendous, tremendous job. And I believe heaven stood still for just a moment and listened to those young people sing. Because see, they sing with an innocency in their hearts and their minds. And, of course, I think Brother Yaws and I both was watching this little one here on the end. He was enjoying the singing, amen. And so that just blessed my heart. And Brother Yaws, thank you for singing possibly, if not probably, my most favorite song of all, I'm in the love of God. And so I don't deserve God's love and mercy, and neither do you, amen. But he has truly extended it to us, even in his infinite mercy, because he loves us. And then also, like I say, Brother Yaws, thank you for that message last night. I agree with you 150%, and I have mulled on that. I didn't sleep real long last night, but I had a good night's rest. I went back over that two or three times, and just it was just feeding my soul. So thank you, Brother Yaws, for doing exactly what God told you to do. And that's what I want to try to do tonight, just simply do what God has laid on my heart. And so, Pastor Evans, thank you so much, you and Miss Nancy, for having me in your home. I disrupt their house. I mean, I just, amen. They wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm in the kitchen eating, amen, and such. So, anyhow, so it's been a great meeting so far. I don't believe God is near done in what he wants to get done here. So I'd like to preface the message by saying tonight, if you're a child of God tonight, God wants to use you. May not be in the capacity or the direction you'd like to be used, but God has a perfect will for us. And so he's given us, and some people disagree, you may argue with this, but God has given us a perfect book. Amen. Truly. There's no mistakes in my Bible. Hope and pray that you have the same Bible, amen. In this precious book, and I would like to say, Pastor Cox, I do not, I had the word earlier. I love the Bible, but I'm careful I say this, and it is a book, and it's God's book, but I don't praise this book, amen, if you understand what I'm trying to say, amen. There's some people, when you mention the King James Bible, they go fanatically crazy. And I just want you to know that I enjoy reading and studying the Word of God, but in my hands, and it's a special book to me, and it is God's book, but it's not what I praise. I mean, I praise the author of this book. Thank you. He made no mistakes in his Word. Absolutely. So when he gave this to us as Christians, and I'm speaking hopefully, prayerfully to Christians tonight, but let me say, if you don't know the author of this book and his son Jesus Christ, tonight would be the night that you come to know Jesus as your Savior. You'll be changed for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Absolutely changed for all eternity. So when you begin to read and study this book, you'll find it's a directional book. It's a guidance book. Amen. It tells us how to conduct ourselves and how to act and the things to do. But in the same book, it also tells us things that we ought not do. And a lot of times we love the Word of God for the praising and joyful part, but when it comes to the part where it says, listen, you ought to pay attention, sometimes it's just hard. I believe I said it from this pulpit before. I love the Bible, but I have a hard time liking it a lot of times. Because the more I read the Word of God, the more it's a mirror to me to show me where I'm at in the direction God's called me and showing me, are you still on the path? Are you headed in the right direction? Amen. So we find here, and before I get into the Word of God tonight, I don't want you to think that I'm downplaying Peter tonight. That's not my wish. That's not my desire. But he uses Peter to show us, please listen, in a loving way, how we ought to act as Christians, how we ought not to act as Christians. Could you imagine walking in the day that Christ was here and having the privilege of being with them and seeing all the miracles and all the things that he's done? Amen. I mean, it just set me back. It really would. And then there's times, now let me say that when we look at this scripture in Mark chapter 14 tonight, that listen, God used him at the day of Pentecost to preach the Word of God and 3,000 souls were saved, amen, and added to the church. Peter got out of the boat in the midst of a horrible storm and walked on the water. I could venture to say, Brother Yalls, tonight that I would probably have been one of the other 11 in the boat saying, Peter, sit down, shut up. Matter of fact, Peter, get back in the boat. And Peter walked on the water till he began to sink. And he said, save me, Lord. And he reached his hand down to him. He wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about a physical saving there. So listen, Peter had been involved in many things in the ministry and following the Lord Jesus Christ. So before I read tonight, I'm going to go ahead and ask Pastor Evans, would you stand and ask the blessings on the message tonight, please, brother? Amen. Thank you, preacher. Again, I want to say thank you for all y'all that have come out this evening, and we are living in different times. Amen. That probably none of us has ever seen anything like this. But I would like to say God is still on the throne. He's still in control. Amen. And we have nothing, absolutely, truly nothing to fear as a child of God during these times. Amen. But he does not call us to be stupid. The evangelist side slips out every now and then and just changes the word. I meant to be not so smart, amen, but stupid come out. But anyway, Mark chapter 14, if you'd look there with me, beginning in verse 26 tonight. As Peter is going to find out through the scriptures tonight, there comes a time in our lives, just as he has, showing us from the Word of God things he should have done and things he should not have done. Amen. But please listen, and I could captivate or draw to a conclusion right now, the end of what I'm preaching tonight. God's mercy still extends to us even when we falter and do wrong. But it's not an excuse to continue in that direction. Amen. You want the blessings of God? Well, when God begins to reveal those things to us, what we need to do is ask the power of God, ask the Holy Spirit to have direction in our lives and begin to follow the right direction that we, now please listen to me, probably every one of us tonight would love to have the blessings of God on our life. Amen. But when we willingly get out of the will of God, as a child of God, he has all authority and right to bring chastisement on us as his children because we belong to him. He owns us. What? Know ye not that you've been bought with a price? Therefore, we ought to glorify God in our body and our soul. Amen. He paid the ultimate price for us. So here in verse 26, in Mark chapter 14, I got the page turned too far here. Amen. And this is about Gethsemane time when the Lord knows what's about to take place in his life, and he's drawn those inner circled ones with him, and he says in verse 26, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, amen." He's not making up things. He's telling the truth. Amen. "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd." Amen. "And the sheep shall be scattered. But after that, I am risen. I will go before you into Galilee." Now, if the heart would have been right, and if I had been there, and I may draw a conclusion sometimes if I were there, which I'm not there, I would have been frightful hearing my Savior. Listen, he's about to die. He's about to pay his life. Amen. "And all you sheep are going to be scattered." Amen. And Pastor Evans, I'm afraid that a lot of times I end up being like Peter a lot of times. Mouth opens, foot inserts, and I can't stop it. Please listen to me in love tonight. Many times we need to think about what we say before we say it. Because you can say something and you can never take back what you said. And truth is tonight, words hurt. Many times words speak outwardly from what's happening inwardly. Amen. "But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." What a bold statement coming out of his mouth. Here we see tonight the denial. What we need to see is the denial of Christ instead. We need to see ourselves denied and not Christ. Amen. I'm going to give you six things tonight that we ought not do, amen, as Christians. And Peter, God's going to use Peter in the scriptures to show us these things. The building up of oneself always leads to the tearing down of Christian character. You let yourself have in charge. You're taking God out of the equation. Amen. You build yourself up, and that's not what we're here for. We ought to be building up Christ in all areas of our life. The more we build up ourselves, we're denying Christian character. What can lead us down the path of denying Christ and the building up of oneself? Well, Peter shows us the wrong way of Christ likeness, the wrong way of Christ likeness. Amen. So we see here, let's just go ahead and finish there. "Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently." Who did? Peter. And do you know what the word vehement means? It's an outward expression, aggressively doing what Peter was doing and saying. Well, let me finish the verse here. "I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said they all." I'd say point one tonight would be simply this: overconfidence in oneself. Don't think you can do it without Jesus. But he vehemently, for the y'alls, I can picture this in my mind. Sometimes I can't adequately express it out my mouth. But he was literally saying to the Savior, "Hey, though all may, but I'll not do this. I don't need you. I can do this by myself." And many a Christian has fallen by the wayside trying to do it on their own without Jesus. And they're soon for a downfall. I'd say to you in love tonight, not in major areas, and not just in minor areas, but in all areas of your life, let God do the leading. Ask him. And then when he says it, follow him. Amen and amen. Jesus doesn't say, listen, the shepherd's about to be killed and the sheep are going to be scattered. And Peter makes this bold statement vehemently, though all may, but not I, amen. And listen to what happened. Please listen to me. I'll not be real long tonight. I'm going to go to about 11:30 and then I'm going to stop. I'd give you enough time to go home and have a glass of cookies and milk, amen, and get about 2 hours sleep, and then you can get back up and get your Bible.
Amen.
Spend time in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. While y'all are doing all that, I'm going to be snoozing. Amen. But please listen. When you get overconfident, and forgive me of my limited vocabulary, you're getting cocky. That's probably not. Did I do all right? Did I mess up, Pastor? All right. No, I'm just telling the truth tonight. Please listen to me. People are watching you all the time. There's not a day, there's not a time that someone is watching you. And the majority of the time, it's family who are watching you. And I'm talking about we who claim to be Christians, and the word Christian means Christ-like.
That's right.
And we get overconfident in who we think we are and what we think we can do without Him. And it has an effect on many others that you don't know of. Did I not read the last part of that verse there, that when He said those things and the rest said, oh, we go with you, Peter. Yeah. You know, come on, Lord. Lead us on, Peter. And we're going to see here in just a moment in the Scriptures, not only did He be vehemently with His mouth, that He physically, ooh, well, y'all, this is what scares me, is Peter literally grabbed hold of the Lord's, grabbed hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, amen.
Look at verse 29 through 30 again. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they. We must always rely upon the Lord. Leaving God out because of overconfidence leads to an area of pride in one's life, arrogance, and self-willed. It absolutely will. More vehemently, boastful of self, both to himself and the Lord in front of all others. Amen. Not, he's simply saying to Jesus, not thy will, but my will is what I'm going to do. It leads to overconfidence, will lead to rash decision making based upon feelings. Amen. Feelings are not, feelings will lead to destruction. Feelings are based many times upon weakness. Can I say to you in love, don't make a decision when you're in a weak state. Call upon the Lord, ask Him to lead and guide and direct you. Pastor Evans and I was talking about this, had no one in mind here, but knowing many people have done this throughout many years of ministry. I'll go back to a church sometimes, and people I expect or look forward to seeing, or they're gone. Where'd they go? Well, he got a better job. She got a better position. Amen. And they left the church out of the will of God. Amen. And end up in destruction later on. Decisions should always be based upon the Bible, God's holy word. God's mercy and love has always provided a way of escape from sin back to Him. Now, we would, if we took time tonight, and it's pretty much the gist of the message, the grace and the mercy and the love of God, even when we falter and do things we know we probably ought to be doing because of self-willed overconfidence, that if we took time and looked at these same scriptures in the book of Matthew 26 and John chapter 13 and Luke 22, we see here where Jesus said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me. It'd be like this, just a little bit before I go a little further with this. If we were all standing out front, outside, and fellowshipping, and all of a sudden there was a big wreck happening out there on the intersection, someone might say, wow, did you see that wreck? And somebody said, yeah, I saw that. That is a bad wreck. And someone else say, yeah, I saw that little red car just run through the stop sign, amen, and smack the back of that semi. And somebody else would say, yeah, but that semi, he had a flatbed on and pipes was sticking out of this. And you're looking at me like, what are you talking about, Brother Workman? Well, we have the same account here in four Gospels, amen. But here in the book of Mark,
the mercy of God is exhibited very openly. Because the other gospels say, thou shalt deny me. Amen. But in the book of Mark, he said, before the cock crow, twice. Doesn't say that in John, in Matthew, in Luke. I believe here Mark was seeing something, saw the same things the other saw, but he's saying, I heard him say, before the cock crow, twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. I believe, Pastor Cox, Jesus at that moment was extending extra mercy to Peter right then. Before the cock, if it went, Brother Chris, off the others, just one cock crowing. But Jesus said, before the cock crowed twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Listen to me, Christian, love tonight. God is extending His love and mercy to you, even when you're messing up. And please, please, please listen. People don't fall into deep sin just because they step off the platform and that's how they fall in. It's a gradual getting into sin. And please,
that's right.
Come on now. I mean,
that's right.
We're not stupid. We're not dumb. We know when we're sinning.
Amen.
Don't have to be a fireball fall out of heaven with your name on it saying, you better straighten up, buddy. We know when we're sinning. Amen. And that's the moment we need to stop and turn back to the Lord. But a lot of times Christians think they're better than Peter. Listen, who was Peter? He walked with Jesus. He walked on the water. He done a lot of things. Amen. And here he vehemently tells him, even though all the others will do it, yet not I. Amen. Boastful. I don't need your will in my life. I can do it without you. And a lot of Christians say, I never do that. Well, look back through your life. And every one of us will find from time to time that we, not openly, but privately have done something and thought, oh, and here's what's great. God extends His mercy to us once again. Amen. Let's look at a few more scriptures. And I honestly am not going to be real long tonight. Amen. I'm going to try not to. But we see the same opportunities that we saw in the others. Repentance is a major thing when overconfidence is one in one's life. But he missed out because the cock did crow twice and not once that night. And it was either somewhere around the first crow one was around midnight, according to Jewish time frame, and the second one possibly was around 3 a.m. Be careful not to lead others wrong because of your cockiness. Amen. Look at verse 37, verse 41. I mean, we could really glean a lot of every verse in here, but I'm not going to take that time. But look at verse 37. I think, first of all, Peter was overconfident. And secondly, I believe Peter got it in an area of his life that he was prayerless. Amen. You know what happens when you stop praying? You're closing the avenue for God to speak to you. Amen. I mean, he says, pray without ceasing, does it not? I mean, what we need to do is be we gathered as men a little bit earlier, and we did yesterday too. And ladies, I'm not downplaying your role because I believe some of the godliest prayer warriors are women. Absolutely. But biblically, I believe that when God wants to come on the scene and meet men, we'll gather together, get on their face and ask God and start praying to God that He'd do something. Yeah, I might not agree with that, but I believe we can show you biblically tonight. But look at verse 37 with me. And he cometh, now he tells them, go this place, and I'm going to go and pray for a bit, amen. And he says, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto who? Peter. Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. What happens when we're prayerless? Temptation comes right at behind it, amen. It's right at the door. You stop praying, and temptation is going to be right there. And please, in love tonight, you think you can handle it because of the overconfidence in your life. You cannot handle some of the temptations that the devil will bring without God. Can't do it. You think you can, but if you don't have God, I mean, listen, what did Jesus do? He prayed to the Heavenly Father. Amen and amen. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou, because not thou watch 1 hour. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.
And then he goes on to say this, and again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returneth, he findeth them what again? Asleep. For their eyes were heavy, neither wist they any to, what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, and maybe I'm really wrong on this, and Pastor Cox and Pastor Evans and Brother Yalls, maybe you'll help me out after church a little bit. I don't believe Jesus gets arrogant and prideful, but I believe he says right here, sleep on now. You're not going to pray with me? Well, just go ahead and sleep on. Yeah? And take your rest. It is enough, for the hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Then he says, rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Now, I want to say to you in love tonight, Jesus is God. It's true. And he is also the Holy Spirit. And when he left, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I believe Jesus in man's form, he was all God and all man at the same time. How is that possible, Brother Workman? I cannot explain it, but it's biblically true. I believe Jesus knew what he was fixing to say. He told them in the very couple of verses, Brother Evans, that listen, the shepherd's about to be smite. They're fixing to hang me on the cross, is what he's saying. I'm fixing to die for your sins. Amen. And my fleshly man side here was yearning for comfort and fellowship from other Christians. I may be totally wrong on this, but I truly believe that's what he was saying to them. And because Peter was prayerless. Amen. Sometimes we get so caught up in the world, self, sin, and our surroundings, we have left off the true need of the day, which is prayer. May it be a blessing to you tonight. Start your day off in prayer. End your day in prayer. And throughout the day, pray. Amen. You know, as a truck driver, I use that to supplement our preaching. Amen. And do you know, what do you do, Brother Orton, when you drive a truck? Well, first of all, I watch the traffic around me. Amen. Absolutely. And ask, beg God to keep road rage from coming into my life. Y'all laugh, but I'm serious. Amen. But the major thing I do, Brother Yalls, when I'm driving a truck is I pray. What a time. I mean, I don't listen to the radio. I don't turn on the CB unless there's major traffic going on. I just spend time and pray. Now, I want to bring comfort to your heart. When I'm praying while I'm driving, my head is not bowed and my eyes are not closed. Amen. What do you mean by that, Brother Workman? You mean I can pray with my eyes open? Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, you can spend time in prayer with God. And here's what's so amazing. I believe, Pastor Cox, a lot of times why people are afraid to pray because they're afraid God will answer. But you could spend time in prayer. I mean, have a back when I was farming and first starting in the ministry, I was still farming quite a bit in Kansas. And some of the people around there knew that I surrendered my life to Jesus and quit all that lifestyle, that old lifestyle and everything. And back then, I didn't have tractors with cabs on them. I just had one with a little canopy on it, amen, with fiberglass canopy on it. And some of the greatest prayer time I ever had in my life was sitting on a tractor, either plowing or disking the ground, amen. And there were times, you think I'm silly and I'm crazy, but people will testify because they drove by and see me. I begin to pray and God begin to answer and I begin to shout. I mean, and somebody said, I'm standing up and they beat my head against that fiberglass top and praising God. I had people call me and said, WR drove by and see me. But what happened to you? Were you having a heart attack on the tractor? No, I was praying and having a joyful time with God. See here in the scripture, I believe the greatest trials and the greatest trials and temptations and tests come in our life when we're overconfident and we're weak that we don't realize that Brother Luke, we need to be in prayer. Amen. Prayer is a powerful, powerful tool. Amen. When life is too busy without God and to pray, then life is too busy. Amen.
Amen.
We allow too much to come in our lives. occupies our time away from Him, especially our time of prayer, then we need to cut something out, and it ought not be prayer that we cut out of our lives. I say this openly and not braggatorial, but my wife is one of the greatest prayer warriors that I ever know and have ever known. Now, I shared this with Pastor Days. We went to the store and seen what all's happening in stores, and that's crazy. The pastor got some coffee, and I said, and all y'all who know Miss Julie, she has her coffee in the morning. If she doesn't have it, I get it for her. Amen. I'm telling you, I could tell you some stories. And I told Pastor this, and you're not taping this back, are you? Push the pause button, please. Put your phone down, Nicosia. She does it to me every time, Brother Y'all. She tapes it and then calls Miss Julie and shows her and tells me everything I said and did. But my sweetheart starts her day, 365 days out of the year, with her prayer books and her prayer pages. And her prayer time takes a minimum of an hour, hour and a half to 2 hours every day. So many times now she's gone to work, she has to get up at 4:30, 5. But she has her coffee. She talks to me sometimes about things. I'm going to have a talk with her when I get home. She's just addicted to caffeine. Amen. I'm probably not going to do that. Because I told Pastor today at the store, I said, though she may have her coffee every day, she's having it with her prayer. I'm telling you, church, prayer is a powerful, mighty thing. And it brings comfort and fellowship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's kind of funny during this time, being a sluggard is not being very spiritual, amen. Do you see here I read a while ago, now he calls him by his old name, Simon. To me, that would be a dig. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he changed him to Peter. Amen. And now he calls him that old name again. Simon, you're allowing those things to come back in your life. Three times the Lord sought comfort in him and the others. Are we willing to pay the price to find comfort in his will for our lives? I could give you many verses tonight. We need to be watchful, prayerful. Amen. Though the Lord doesn't need our help, our assistance, our comfort, the man side of him yearned for it, showing that he was able to relate to us in our humanity. Look at verse 47 with me. I'll move on very quickly tonight. And again, we can find stuff out every verse tonight. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Do you know, prior to this, just moments before this happened, someone by the name of Peter said, we need to get a sword. I'm kind of paraphrasing the scripture here. Bear with me a little bit. Jesus says we need not a sword. Amen. Here comes the priest and all those others. Amen. To who rest to? Jesus, because he already prophesied and told them this is about to happen. And Peter, who was overconfident, who was prayerless, is now not listening to what Christ says or what the Holy Spirit says. And he grabs that nearest sword. And listen, church, tonight, he cut off the high priest's servant. I don't know what you'd call him at that time. There is a name for him. He was going to cut his head off. No, Peter didn't say, stand still. Wait a minute. Just stand perfectly still, and I'm going to take his sword, and I'm just going to cut this ear over here. I'm just going to cut your ear off. That's not Peter. No. Peter grabbed a sword, and he's wheeling it around, and he's headed for the head. What's miraculous, that servant turned his head, by the name of Malchus, turned his head and cut his ear off. And I don't know, I have a vivid imagination a lot of times for y'all. I could see that ear flopping around in the dirt.
It doesn't say that in the scriptures now, but I just have a vivid imagination. I can just see that dirt, that ear just flopping around out there in the dirt. And Peter doesn't have enough sense yet, Pastor Cox, to understand that God is in control of all things. And what we need to do is listen to what he says, even when we think we can handle the situation by ourselves because we're overconfident and we haven't spent enough time in prayer. Amen. And now we're not even. This is what it leads. These are things it leads to in our lives. We need to pay attention to what Jesus is trying to tell Peter, and he's now not listening to Christ. Amen. And I guarantee you, if we're not careful, we'll get to that place in our life that when Jesus speaks, we can't even hear him. And he's still speaking. The miraculous thing here is Jesus grabbed that ear out of the dirt and he put it back on Malchus's head, and it was just as if it had never been cut off. Now, y'all forgive me. Again, this is my crazy mind sometimes thinking. I thought it would have been hilarious if he had just turned that ear upside down. I know it sounds silly and crazy, but, you know, I mean, but he could have, preacher. He could, but he put the ear back on. Amen. Here's standing Jesus, and I can visualize this, that he's looking at Peter like, Peter, Peter, Peter. But he does say this name three times a little bit later in the scriptures, but it's not Peter. It's Simon, Simon, Simon. Let me hurry. That's point four or three, I think. Amen.
God gave me this message a long time ago. I was doing a revival in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was staying at the pastor's house, and they gave me the afternoon, and I began to pray and read through this, Brother Luke, and this is what God gave me that day. So full of self and other men's thoughts and feelings and fears, amen, is what was going through Peter's mind, because I could visualize or see Peter saying to him earlier vehemently, all those other might deny thee, but not me, amen. And the others also said likewise. And here now, he couldn't even stay awake with Jesus to pray with him when he needed comfort or yearned for comfort. Now he honestly just doesn't even hear him, amen, because he's so full of himself. Are we guilty to respond or act because we're so full of ourselves? Many times we take more upon ourselves, listen to me, than what the Lord intended for us. Jesus did not need Peter to grab the sword and cut off the servant's ear. He did not need him to do that. Absolutely. I mean, Jesus could handle it all. But here, here's what happened. Peter's gotten on this trail and is progressively leading further and further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And some of you looking at me, oh, Brother Workman, you ever been there? I hate to admit it, but I'm not going to tell you where I've been, but I've been down that trail. Now, I'm not cutting anybody's ear off, amen, but I've been down that trail. Look quickly with me, verse 54 tonight. And Peter followed him afar off. Now, again, we could read through all these things. Here they've arrested him now, and they've taken him to the high priest palace, amen, and now Peter and the others are following afar, a little far off, amen, there in verse 57 now. Let me make sure I'm in the right. 54, I'm sorry. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. You become overconfident, not relying upon God but yourself. You become prayerless, no time for the Lord, not listening to Jesus. You're listening to the Holy Spirit. And now you'll find yourself with the wrong, associating with the wrong crowd. He's now with the heathen people, non-Christians, warming himself by the fire. There's much to be said about those with whom we hang out with. I'm going to make a little bold statement here tonight. Devil is fighting me. I'm not going to lie to you on this. I mean, I know exactly what God wanted me to do tonight, and I'm struggling a little bit with it. But I want to say to you parents tonight, take a stand as a parent. Amen. That I was an only child, and there were so many times I'd say to my mom and dad, Well, they're doing it, and my dad's response and my mother's response is, you're not their child, you're my child. And I need to understand tonight, I belong to Jesus. Amen. And I guarantee you, you start hanging out with the wrong association, you'll start doing what the wrong association does. Amen. You mess with, you associate with the wrong crowd, and you'll find yourself further to Jesus than you never thought you'd ever get. Amen. One step backward leads to huge bounds. One step backward leads to huge bounds to backsliding. I believe in my life tonight, Pastor Cox, many people have left the church because they got far from God, and now they're so ashamed they don't know how to come back. Amen. And I want to say something here very briefly that's not in the message. When you find that true in somebody's life, do not go browbeat them and beat them down. You spend time on your face, you pray, and you encourage them, lift them up, and get them back in. Amen. We too many times beat those who are stumbling and falling down. Amen. I'm not saying go hang out with them, associate with them, but I'm saying love them like Jesus would. One step backward leads to huge bounds to backsliding. Peter found himself comfortable with the officers, then the servants of the ungodly people. Look at verse 71. I'm going to draw this pretty close to a close. I look at the clock. I realize the time. I jokingly say this now. If Miss Julie was here, I believe I told Pastor or somebody the other night, I'm allowed five closings. Brother Yall, I'm allowed five closings. And I look at Miss Julie, Brother Luke, on how many closings I got left. There's times when I'm preaching like I ought to, she'll do this. That's just one. Sometimes I get two. Amen. There's been times I hadn't gotten a message. Look at her. She says, you need to shut her down, buddy. Amen. Her favorite saying is quit telling stories and preach. So I think I'm doing pretty good tonight. Ask her on the phone, Nicosia, whether she's where I'm at on it. Amen. Associating with the wrong crowd leads to verse 71 tonight. And again, we could glean many, many things out of the other verses. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of who you speak. And we know who that is, do we not? That's Peter. Hello. I mean, he's got so far from God, now he's cursing. Saying things he ought not say. Letting it just flow out. The devil will not give up on trying to destroy you, but he will work on you trying to destroy your testimony to the end. The attacks will come greater and stronger the closer we come to God. Amen. I believe in my heart and my mind that the devil just sat back on his haunches and said, got him. Oh, he's confident, prayerless, not even listening, wrong associations, and now he's returning back. And listen, Peter didn't learn how to curse right then. Peter knew how to curse long before that. Hello. He's returning back to that old self, those habits. That's what he's doing, and that's what you'll do too. That's what I'll do. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man of whom you speak. Again, the devil's not going to give up on you. And the closer you get to the Lord, the greater the attacks will come. Peter now gives into the repeated associations or accusations of Christ, to Christ. Peter loses his temper and emphasizes by denying by profanity. The heart is deceitful, wicked, above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I know. Jesus knows it. Amen. Now, you just have to bear with me, and I'm on point four of closing. Amen. Miss Julie and I have had the privilege to go to Israel. And we went according to our guide and the history books and things we were reading. We went to this place where supposedly Peter did do these things, Pastor Cox. It's true. It's in the Word of God. But we went to where this place where they believe this took place, Brother Chris, where
Peter stood out there and warmed by the fire, amen, and they come to him and accuse him of it. And he said, I know not the man. And he couldn't say that. He betrayeth himself with his speech, amen, because he couldn't say the words the same way they do according to scriptures. And they stay after and continue. And then he begins to swear, I don't know him, and begin to cuss, amen. Right where they believe this took place, Brother Yaws. This palace area is not like we know, Brother Luke, is a building type place. Amen. And in this, there's an inner court where they took Christ before the high priest. And I'm really jumping on the end here. Amen. And if there's this inner court, then there's another outer court around that. Amen. And then there's another hedge type thing around there. And I didn't realize this, Brother Y'all, but they brought us to a point, because the Bible says that Christ looked upon him when he did these, after he'd done these things. Amen. And you walk around this inner court, and there's spacing in there, and you get around certain spots, and it opens up amazingly where you're on the outside, Pastor Cox, and you see right into the very center of that palace. And I believe that's when the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Peter. Amen. And reminded him, before the cock crow twice, you'll deny me thrice. And he's truly done this already. Amen. Again, this is Peter who walked on water. Again, this is Peter who preached the gospel. I preached and thousands got saved. I mean, he walked with Jesus. There was a lot of things he said and done. And so you'd think somebody like that can't end up in this position. Well, don't think it so that you cannot end up in this position. Now, I would love to preach to you the grace and mercy of love, which I've said several times. Amen. And if you'll rely upon God, God will keep you from these things. But you deny him. You get away from him. You can end up there because God does not force his will on his children. And there in verse 71 again, it says, outright denial of the Savior. I know not the man of whom you speak. It's not always words that tell who we are. Actions speak louder than words. Little things are important to the Lord. Amen. Overconfident. Well, I've never done that. Well, you've told a fib. We've all, at one time or another in our life, so overconfident that I don't have to have you. I can handle this. Prayerless, losing out on the power of God. Not listening as the Holy Spirit speaks, and he speaks. I'd like to say this, just a quick thought there on the Holy Spirit. At the moment you were saved, he took up his residence inside you. He took up his abode in you. Not abiding, but he took up his abode in you. It means he never leaves you. No matter where you're at and what you're doing, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus himself, God himself, is with you, in you. And he continually speaks, but you can bury him so deep that as he speaks, you can't hear him. And it's not because he's not speaking. It's because we buried him so deep in sin. Our sin. Wrong associations. When you find yourself comfortable back in that old lifestyle, there's a wrong place to be. Returning to old self habits. And it's more than just saying dirty words out of your mouth. And an outright denial finds itself and manifests itself in an ungodly lifestyle. Now, maybe this wasn't a blessing to you. Our prayer prayed that it would be, amen. I'm just wanting to be a blessing to you that when you find yourself at point one, you stop right there. Amen. And you turn around. You don't vehemently grab Jesus and say, all those may, but I won't do it. I just can imagine that someone grabbed Jesus Christ, Pastor Evans, that they didn't just burn up a little crispy critter right then. And that's just my mind. But you could slip by overconfidence pretty easy. Pastor Cox, I fight with that one all the time. I can handle this. I cannot handle it without him. And then soon I find myself not, see what prayerlessness is, though they found themselves heavy with sleep and they couldn't keep their eyes open. You don't have to be so much that way. You could be to the point that you don't even talk to the Lord about things that's going on in your life. Amen. That's just point one and two. Amen. Brother Worm, have you ever found your point somewhere else? Street preaching one day. Well, y'all, I thought I was walking with the Lord and trying to do God's will. And actually, Dr. Jim Vineyard had put me over the preacher boys at the college, and I had to go street preaching just like everybody else, Pastor Cox. And then I had to run, jump in the car to make sure everybody else was on the corners they're supposed to be on. Amen. And somebody in there was record. I had to go and report the record that they did their street preaching. One night, on my corner, where I had four others, here come a Catholic priest, staggering all the way up to me. I thought, oh, this is going to be a mess. And he come up there and he said a few choice words, and I'm telling you, this is a vivid memory, and he was tall enough that my nose kind of hit him right here in the chest. Now, I'm just telling you, he's a big, tall man, and he let me on my Catholic priest, and I could smell his breath 20 feet away, and he kind of leaned over me and said, I'm going to whoop them preacher boys. And before I realized, I said, well, you're going to have to whoop me first. I thought, I got overcome. I whooped this drunk. And then he said, now, Brother Yalls, I'm just, many times, just a rough old country boy. God pulled me out of the hog lot, literally, and made me a preacher. Praise God. And he leaned down, and he called me things that I dare not repeat and spit in my face. And when he spit in my face, he said another word to me, and I dare not repeat, but I did. At that instant, right back, what he said to me, I said right back to him. You, Brother Workman, a preacher, all that? Boy, it got quiet in here. Some of you judging me right now. Amen. It's okay. Judge all you want when you get home, look in the mirror. Amen. Now, I didn't have to whoop him. But I was raised in a home that someone curses you, you stop it. Someone spit in your face, you take it level 10. Joseph, that moment, I had to ask God. Amen. Because you know what? Pastor Cox, it wasn't so much of all that happened to transpire between me and him. Those four or five preacher boys standing behind me was watching and listening to it all. And I found myself, Peter, saying, I don't do it. And others said, yeah. We ain't not going to do it either. I remember there's another portion of Scripture that says, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And others go with him. I'm trying to be a blessing and help to you tonight. Not only if you find yourself point one through six here, I mean, you need to turn around and go back, because if you don't, you're going to drag a whole bunch of others down with you. Amen. But Jesus forgave him. And Jesus forgave me that night, that Sunday night there on that street corner. Amen. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he intervened. But Caleb, I hope I never get to that position again. Amen. Overconfident, prayerless, and all these other things that go along with it. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight.